Hey guys, Maria Menounos here. Before your favorite AfterBuzz TV after show begins, I'm so excited to tell you that my new cookbook is out. It's called The Every Girl's Guide to Cooking. It's the quickest, fastest, easiest, most amazing recipes for kitchen newbies and chefs alike. Please check out MariaMenounos.com for more info. Buzz you later.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Oh, this look at that.
Yes, I love this song.
We asked for Beach Boys.
That's
this
right.
Was her favorite.
This was my favorite Beach Boys song, even though now it's been pointed out that the first line, of course, I knew this already, but it's "I will not always love you." And I was like, well, yeah, I guess. Like, I mean, that's
so
just being
romantic.
Honest.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
All right. But, like, right now,
look at that.
God only knows how I feel about you. You guys?
That's right.
What it is, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's
yes.
Line.
God only knows how we're going to feel about season episode 6 of 11/22/63,
yes.
Folks. We're going to find out, though, in this little after show. Welcome, everybody, to AfterBuzz TV's after show for 11/22/63. I'm your host, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter. You can follow me at Twitter and on Twitter.
And on the street?
And on the streets. Just on the streets. Just
follow
me. Just follow me around.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah, why not? Come on. I'm easy to spot. Just look for this hoodie and just follow me around for a little bit. You can also follow me on the interwebs at Happy Go Jackie. I'm joined by two fantastic hosts that are going to help round out this table as we break down this episode. Coming up directly to my left, Michael Klaus.
Michael Klaus, you can follow me on Instagram at TheOnlyMC, on Twitter at Michael Klaus TV. I did get 400 followers, by the way. I got 400.
Oh, look at you.
That was the thing last week.
Who's
I'm at 400. I don't know.
Oh,
I, it might have been a spam account, but I don't care. It's 400. I'll take it.
Did you at least give him like a little thank you for, you know, being the 400th? A little special recognition?
Oh.
Man, all right. Well, $3.99, I think.
Yeah, there you go. You're about to leave me.
Oh, no.
And then back from South by Southwest,
woo!
Mary Lou Mandel.
A year older.
Yes, my birthday was last week. It was very exciting. You can find me on all social media at Mary Lou Mandel. And yeah, I'm happy to be back.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Another year wiser.
Yeah.
Yes. Sure.
Another year wiser. And also, I want to note that I leave for 1 week and people are getting their faces cut open.
Yes.
You guys, I'm disappointed.
You picked the wrong week to go to South by Southwest.
But you picked a good week to come back because this episode is awesome.
That's true. While we were saying that Mary Lou Mandel is another year wiser, I feel like Jake, though, we see everything kind of falling apart on him. And we learn why Al says not to make any connections with the past, because everything starts crumbling apart on poor Jake this week.
Yeah.
There we go. Yes.
Past really catches up this week.
Yeah. Episode 6. Happy birthday, Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yes. Birthday parties all over the place.
Oh, my word.
Yes. So we start off 6 months later from our last episode. So
good or bad? Do you like it?
No, I like the time jump because, I mean, we only have two more episodes after this, so we got to get closer to that. I mean, we all know, especially once we kind of get the resolution of Walker being shot. The only other thing that's of importance is we got to get to the day, 11/22/63.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like any time jumps are going to be in its favor.
Absolutely. And I'm in agreement because it is a month left now. And you know that you have, I mean, going into this, since it happened at the beginning, you know, you have 3 episodes for a month. And so I think it will get into greater detail, especially in the last 2 episodes here, where I was like, you know, if they have to do 6 months, I feel like they're really going to be cutting around. Where now you have, you know, 3 episodes, as we're getting into, to do 1 month, and you're doing a lot of details and a lot of detail-oriented stuff.
You know, I think I'm taking away from this, though, is just hard to go change the past. I think it's just,
it's not as easy as what you would think.
No, and it certainly doesn't seem like a one-person job.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at everything that Jake has Billy doing in this, which comes back to bite him in the end, but it's like, if you're only by yourself, that's an enormous amount of stuff you're trying to cover if you're trying to change some kind of important, significant event in history.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. And also, like, I was thinking, this is what I didn't want to say before because I don't want to waste it, right?
So yeah, okay.
He's doing all of this work with all of this old technology, but he already knew he could bring back his iPhone, so before he even went on this endeavor, he should have went back and got a bunch of surveillance, 2016 surveillance equipment.
You know?
No? And like,
yeah.
It could have been a thing, or he could have.
Could have, would have, should have.
There's so many things from like modern day that he could have taken back to help on his mission.
That's true, but I mean, I guess you wonder, like, how quickly do you realize that? Because if he'd gone back once he got to Dallas and started setting up shop and realized, I should go back, then he misses that whole Tennessee little, he'd have to repeat that all
again.
But
that was already in the plan to, like, do surveillance.
True.
I think he made a rash decision in jumping into the rabbit hole, though, because he did it when Al died.
Yeah.
And so it was like, all right, I'm just doing it. And you're in, and it's like, oh, well.
You could have planned a little.
Yeah, but I guess when you're thinking of somebody who tells you to go back in time, I guess maybe you're not thinking all of that, like all that little minutia. Like, Al did have a lot of the minutia covered in terms of, like, betting and things like that and how to make a living and different false identity and things like that. But the day-to-day things, like, you know, using future present-day technology to help you in the past, maybe not having all that covered.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we start off, we get Lee Harvey Oswald getting a job interview at the Book Depository.
Yeah.
Seems like he's kind of, it starts out looking that he's like on the little more straight and narrow, that he's kind of just being a normal guy, getting that job, trying to take care of his family. He's a good guy. Come on. Can't we just give him a break?
Yeah, it's, we feel like, you know, Marina's left him at that point. So, yeah. I mean,
pregnant Marina.
Pregnant Marina. Yeah, as soon as I saw the... All right, who thought of it immediately when you heard...
That's
that
Bill's baby.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's Bill's baby.
But that exactly. And then we see already starting to set him off. There's an FBI agent hanging outside the Book Depository.
I like FBI guy.
That's what they call him back in the 60s, the FBI guy. just giving him a hard time.
So.
Yeah, and so that already sets him off for the. I mean, I feel like it's just always anytime the FBI gets mentioned, it's just going to set Lee Harvey off for this whole entire episode.
Yeah, because he's already touchy about it.
Oh yeah, exactly. And so then he goes and talks to Marina. Say, hey, I've got a great job. I can take care of you. And she does not seem that. She's kind of on the fence about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you wonder what happened. I mean, they don't really talk about that at all throughout of what was the spark between them.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously it seemed like there was some tension, but it wasn't like a specific spark that, you know, made her move out.
No, but I mean, I guess you could see, like, especially if you hear from George talking about later, that, you know, he does hurt her, especially when he feels like his pride is at stake and stuff, that he does do that. So, I guess maybe just, like, after years of all that he finally says, she says, like, nope, I'm out.
Well, I'm sure that's Bill whispering at her, saying, hey, you know, I'm not okay with, like, he's beating you, you should go, like, you know, and then sticking it to her, and... You know, and then she's like, yeah, I should go. And I'm pregnant with somebody else's baby.
Hot off the press.
Hey, talking about celebrity scandals and stuff like that. You never know. I mean, it was Lee Harvey Oswald. He's kind of a quasi-celebrity, historical celebrity.
He's infamous. That still counts, though.
Yes.
Well-known.
Well-known historical figures having some sort of, you know, like their secret lives, things like that. You know, those salacious details that you never find about. But what about, like, celebrities' boyfriends in a midlife crisis?
All juicy gossip.
Yeah, what if you enjoy hearing stories about behind the scenes of Hollywood? Not just history, but also Hollywood history as well.
Mm-hmm.
Or amused by old TV and movie references as well.
Like, who doesn't love those?
There you go. Like, that's my wife. That's what Lee Harvey would say. There you go, guys. Look at that, Sacha Baron Cohen. Just like he was in the room with us, wasn't it?
It was so real.
Well, if you love any of that or all of that, then you'll love The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. You can join AfterBuzz creator and Maria Menounos' fiancé, Kevin Undergaro, along with AfterBuzzer co-hosts Roxy Stryer, Ashley Daniels, and all others for all the insanity. Watch live Monday and Thursday nights from 7 to 9 Pacific time and on thetomorrowshow.com or subscribe and download free on iTunes. Go to thetomorrowshow.com for more information.
Yeah, I just saw was it last night? I think they had Farrah Abraham on there.
Yes.
So they get, a decent amount of people coming in. Obviously, this is week two.
Yeah.
I already got people like that, and it seems really fun. Star Trek costumes, a lot of good stuff going on in that show. Seems pretty fun. Check it out.
Yeah, and speaking of talking about that, you know, she's one of the teen moms there. So
she is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've got Marina there, sitting there with her little child. There, she seems to kind of like walk away there from Lee, like thinking about maybe coming back with him. I don't know. But then we have Jake coming back to see Bill. And Bill's just sleeping around. He's just being kind of lazy. Man, you really see it starting to kind of fall apart between Jake and Bill at this point, don't you? I mean, it's like, oof.
I cannot even, like, have one good thought about Bill. There's not a good thought that I can come up with in my head of, like, oh, this is why Bill's a good guy. Cricket.
Yeah.
Cricket.
Nope. Yeah, and I feel like Bill's only thing was like, why don't you at least, if we're not going to do anything, just let me make bets. Why don't you let me make bets? Like, oh, all right. Cool. That's what you want to do, is just sit around making bets all the time.
I'm sure in the, you know, time, years have passed, and he's just tired of being second fiddle.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, it's like, because I feel like, you know, Jake kind of, he finds Sandra and he just kind of leaves Billy with all the grunt work. Like, sit here all day, put on this headphone and listen to these conversations. I mean, mm-hmm. kind of leaves Billy with all the unglamorous parts of it.
Yeah. And again, I mean, I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago where it's, if you look at Jake, I mean, he can go back and he's basically picking up his life right where he left off. Whereas Bill, it is a little bit more of a bigger commitment because you're literally taking a couple years of your life that you probably won't get back.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're not seeing this of the full picture of, I'll just go back to wherever I came from and boom, right back to my regular life.
Yeah, and as we've seen, Bill is already, right from the beginning, we've all talked about how he's just not coming, he's not the sharpest tool in the shed. I mean, he's not already coming from a good place when we first meet him back in the beginning of the series as well. Mm-hmm. He's had a damaged past as well. So not in the best frame of mind to have as your wingman for something like this. And this is when we really see it all starting to crumble
right.
apart.
And then for him, like, it's exciting because this is, he's been in Kentucky and now he's living this exciting life and he's growing some confidence and met a girl that he likes, which maybe he's never had that before. So he's wanting to explore. See, it's like he's in college and people are holding him back. He's like, no, brother, I'm going to go live my life. You can have a girlfriend.
Screw this biology 8 a.m. class.
Yep.
Yeah, because it's one thing when you're told, like, hey, we're going to try to prevent the assassination of JFK. And you're like, oh, my gosh, that sounds like such an awesome idea. And before you start doing it, it sounds really cool. And then you start doing all the grunt work and the minutia, and the years go by. You're listening to these conversations. You're like, oh, what am I doing?
You're listening to this girl you got a crush on, get beat on.
Yes. It just That's wears hard. On you, for sure. And then we see one of the things that they do have to listen to is George whenever he comes by. And he does come back at this point.
Really quickly.
Yeah. And they have a little talk about Walker as well.
How could you, what did he say? How could you miss Walker? And of course, Lee Harvey denies it.
Yeah, he wouldn't waste his time with Walker.
Yeah. I don't, do you trust him? Do you not trust him? Do you think he was being honest?
I think he was being honest. I think that, because of course, they want us to think both ways. But with the way that they're pushing Lee, he's just trying to be like an honest guy who's got some anger issues.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because I don't see any reason why you'd have to lie to George about that. Mm-hmm. I don't see why. I mean, and certainly because he doesn't know he's being recorded. He has no reason to suspect anybody's listening in on the conversation. Mm-hmm. So it seems like his and George's relationship seems to be on the up and up. That nobody's. I mean,
unless he doesn't trust George, because I mean, George is still CIA.
Yes.
So you don't want to give away a crime. I mean, we think that it's almost being played out that Lee Harvey Oswald and George have a great relationship, but George is still the feds. And so you can't, I don't think he would give away too much information knowing that, you know, he could be reporting it and he could be arrested and things could become of it. So if you don't have any evidence to the contrary, don't, you know, stick your foot in your mouth.
Well, very true. And as Billy asks Jake, like, why don't we just kill Lee Harvey and just be done with it? And Jake brings up that, so we don't have enough evidence, and I can't kill a guy just on maybe that he's going to be the assassin. Because he's already killed two people, which I look like he's killed two people already, and it feels awful. So he's not going to do it a third time if he doesn't have to.
And Bill brings up the butterfly effect and says, you know, well, how do you know we haven't already changed it? And you can see, and I was taking notes as we're going through this thing, and I'm like,
the guilt.
Do you worry about his actions? Do I worry about, you know, Bill kind of slipping and changing sides almost? And then, like, literally as the episode is going on. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Literally going back and, like, scribbling in my notes of, yeah, this happened. Stupid question. Why did I even ask that earlier?
Stupid Bill.
Literally, I have a stupid question in all caps.
Yeah.
Because it obviously came to fruition.
Well, yeah, because when he does say, like, we've been living underneath him, maybe just us living underneath him is changing things. Like, well, then, yeah, not just living there. You clearly are interacting with him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because living. That's living.
Huh. Yeah. He's living the life underneath somebody.
Yes.
Like, it was a little slow, but it happened. Yeah, but so... thank you.
Nice. Thank you, James.
Thank you. So, as far as this episode, the only thing we know that he's changed in the past, like, we have confirmed change, is saving that guy's family, right? Killing...
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. That's the only thing that we know has actually been changed.
Yeah.
So, everything else is... They're just dancing around different things, because they don't know the history of all the people in Jodi.
Very true, yeah.
So, they could have changed things there, but they don't know any of that stuff.
Very true.
You know? So it's interesting.
We have no frame of reference for any of that at all. And so then we saw that we know that Jake's been spending a lot of time with Sadie, taking care of her after everything, all her altercation, they're getting cut in the face, everything that's happened there. And so he goes to see her.
And I do want to say, her scar from scene to scene was always different. Some with the makeup team.
Mm.
Like, it was different.
Maybe it's her makeup team in the 1960s.
Maybe. She has a makeup team. There you go.
I was, and this shouldn't be taken the wrong way, I didn't think it was as bad of a scar as, like, it's not as, is uglifying a right? It's not, uglifying is not a word.
No, she wasn't, like, deformed. It was
No. It wasn't as deforming of a scar as what I was thinking.
Yeah, because when we first see her, and she's playing cards with Deke, and the way she had her hairstyle.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you almost can't even tell.
Yeah, and so I was like, all right, I can't even notice anything. And it wasn't until she was actually in the operating room where you get to see it for that first time, where you're like, whoa, all right, that's a big scar, I guess.
Right.
All
right.
Again, Sadie, we're not saying suck it up. We're saying that it could be worse.
Right,
the glass
girl is
half full.
Yeah, but I feel like it seems like Sadie's been a recluse since that happened. She hasn't gone back to school to teach.
Yeah.
She's pretty much just staying at home, and I feel like she doesn't want to go out and live her life fully until she gets this taken care of through plastic surgery, which I'm curious about seeing, I guess, some plastic surgery back in the 60s, good enough that you could be able to pretty much, I don't know how, I mean, I guess at least diminish the scar.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could completely remove it. Yeah.
Get rid of scar tissue. I mean, that's a lot of what they do.
Yeah, but we found out that something like that is going to cost $8,000. And Jake is like, don't worry, I got it all covered. And we, of course, know where that's coming from. It's going to be some betting going on.
Yeah.
As much as he's telling Billy, don't make any bets. All right, you know, I do as I say, not as I do. I feel like that's a lot of Jake's thing right
and
now.
And there's about, I looked it up because obviously there's a lot of references to money in this episode. And the equivalent rate is about 8 times about what it was then of what it is now.
So
seven and a half times. Because I looked it up when he makes the $800 bet, I looked up what's the inflation rate of what would $800 been then to what it is now. And $800 then was $6,250 now.
Wow.
So if it's an $8,000 surgery,
like $64,000.
Yeah, you're looking at about $60,000.
Oh, man.
Girl, just style it a little bit. It's fine. Make it a thing. Be a woman with character.
Yeah.
But we do notice that was interesting about Sadie and Jake's relationship, though, is that's as much as he said in the last episode that, you know, he loves her, doesn't want to lie to her anymore. He's also doesn't want to tell her
still
all the information. And he's not, I mean, he's being upfront about what his thing is, but he doesn't want to tell her everything as well either. So that seems like interesting because she'll keep asking, just tell me one more thing about the future.
And I'm impressed by Jake for doing that
because
I would have expected that he would just lay it all out on the line. But he's smarter than that.
Yeah, I felt that in this episode, she started to seem weaker to me. Like, I mean, and I don't know if it's because of the trauma or now that they're in love and together. Like, before, I felt like she was, like, making decisions. And she's, like, out on her own, divorced woman or trying to get divorced, trying to build her little life. And then now she's like, I know it's not safe for you to tell me everything.
Yeah, I could understand some of that. Yeah, I would agree with that. It's like, all right, well, you know, but you're just going to keep pecking away. Like, just tell me one more thing about the future. One more thing.
I'm sure knowing that the future is there and thinking probably at that point that she's going to go back with him, that I would say plays into her actions as well of why, what's the point of me doing stuff here if we're going to the future?
Yeah.
There's no point anymore almost in investing in the current.
Right.
When you're going to the future.
Although then it would make me think like, well, if Jake's plan is to marry her and then take her back to the present, why not just wait and get the surgery done present day?
Yeah.
I mean, that, you know, advancements in surgery.
Just like some lotion?
Yeah.
I like that.
It'd be
that
so much better. Why waste the time doing it right then if that's his end game? But I guess he's not thinking like that. Come on, Jake, get it together, buddy. But then we've.
What if her health gets worse if he takes her to the present? Because you know how the other guy got cancer, thinks he got cancer from going back and forth too much?
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, so what if she comes and then, like, half her face is gone now?
Half her face is? Wow.
That's true. You don't
know
what happens.
That's a worst-case
scenario. Yeah.
She needs a lot more plastic surgery, though.
Yeah, you just got to take her to, like, the 90s during face-off era and just get her somebody else's face.
Then you got to take her to Beverly Hills. Best plastic surgeons.
Mm. The past ate my face. You saying time ate my face, Jake? Is that what you're saying?
I can't feel my face.
So we get Jake, though. He does. Deke has to, hey, talk to Miss Mimi. She wants to speak to you. And we finally find out why Miss Mimi is so sick. She has cancer. That's a shame. And she knows that she doesn't have long to live. And Deke wants to take her to Mexico to try some experimental treatments. But she's like, nah.
Which I love that was a thing still back then. Mm-hmm. Of like, oh, go to Mexico.
Yes. Yeah. That's
cheap drugs.
It's like always the thing. Mexico is where you get your health care for chips.
Yeah, but I like it. She's like, her home is Jody. She doesn't want to leave it. She wants to stay there.
It was the closest to that they've admitted her and Deke to having a relationship.
Yes.
They never like came out and said it specifically, but they said we've lived.
They lived their lives next to each other.
Not with each other.
So it kind of says like they've never had a relationship, but they've always like had a relationship and been really close.
I would say like they've been able to live together secretly, but never been able to be out in public and be able to share the love with everybody else.
And it's a regret that she has.
For sure. Yeah. And I like Jake's, I wish you'd call me Jake, and I wish you'd told me about this sooner. I just like that little, but you said that little moment there between them. Mm-hmm. I thought that was. I do like that friendship between the two of them that really struck up. And it's a shame we're only just getting we get little bits and drabs of it. And it's a shame that it looks like it's going to come to the end at the end of this episode. Because I imagine when we come back, there's probably a little bit of a time jump, and I don't think Miss Mimi's going to be around.
Yeah,
I bet she can survive another month.
I don't know. She doesn't have much longer left.
The size of a lemon.
Yeah. Oof. But she said the reason she tells Jake about her and Deke is that the reason, you know, don't leave Sadie hanging. If you care about somebody, you gotta make it happen. So look at I think Jake's taking that to heart.
I think he does.
Yeah. And then we see Jake placing a bet for a boxing match, which at least at the beginning, compared to the first episode where he goes back and he plays that episode in like a really seedy, rundown place, it looked really kind of like, you know, like unsavory characters, kind of like skeevy. This one seemed like, all right, I mean, it's like a little Dallas little bar you're placing a bet in. It seemed like a pretty well, you know, well-to-do guy. Just like, all right, I'll take your bet. All right, we'll have a little talk, a little bit about stuff. Seemed very civil about the whole thing.
You could tell something bad that was going to happen, though. It still just didn't seem right. And especially this comes right after Jake tells Bill not to place any big bets and like do any, you know, hardcore betting, and then he goes and makes this $800 bet, which is $6,250 nowadays.
Yeah.
That's a big bet.
I was wondering like the way Jake came in to place that bet, because I'm thinking if you're placing a bet like that and you already know what the outcome is, would you try to play it a little bit more, like try to play it up like, oh, you know, I know this is a lot of money, but I've got this big medical expense and I'm gonna because he seems so cocksure.
Yeah,
like is that the way, like, you know, make it seem like you really, this is like $800 is a lot to you, and you're making that bet and you're a little scared, but you know you need it for some medical expense. Would you try to at least kind of sell it that kind of reasoning to the guy up front so he doesn't get suspicious?
He says he's a teacher too, which obviously, you know, you're not making a lot of money.
I think he was definitely showing too many of his cards, you know, like just being too confident about it, saying that he's a teacher. You know, he could like, I like that, the game of like, oh, I just, there's like my wife's face is messed up. I'm desperate measures.
Is that how you do your private gambling?
That's how I do mine. I really play up loud, you know, a lot of personal tragedy in my life. Even though, you know, I've been to the future, guys. I know I've got my almanac.
You
my
are sport from almanac. The future.
I am from the future,
guys. You just came
guys.
Back here to do AfterBuzz.
That's right. That's the reason I came back. My big mission was just to do after shows. Yes. I know where AfterBuzz is going in the future, guys. And when this takes over, I wanted to be on the ground floor.
Yes.
Yep. That's right.
It's a good plan.
Yeah. And then what I love is that Jake goes back to Billy's place and then finds there's a little party going on.
This is the part in the episode where it all just goes straight downhill.
Oh man,
yeah. Like if there was a point where it's like light switch, straight downhill, this is it.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
I see Jake listening out of the headphones. All of a sudden, here's Billy up in the apartment. Like, what is going on?
So infuriated.
Not just up in the apartment. Up in the apartment, away in a little closed off space with Lee Harvey Oswald's wife.
Oh yes, that. Was
I just, mean, mm-mm.
Yeah, and then goes in, and boy, yeah, that whole discussion between them and Billy just, you know, it's like, hey, I don't want to leave. I want to stay here. I want to hang out. We're friends.
Yep.
Oh, that was just...
I've been up here a lot. You didn't notice.
Yeah. The fact that that whole conversation seems weird, because they're standing by the lamp that is actually bugged so he can actually just talk into it, and then knocks over the lamp, and Lee finds the bug. It's like, man, dang it, Billy. I mean, you're setting up everything. You're just adding fuel to Lee Harvey Oswald's fire right there.
Well, at least Bill knows the game where he's like, what is that thing?
Oh, man. That's.
Thankfully, they have the FBI to blame. Yeah. So they can, you know, say, oh, so the FBI is tracking us.
Yeah, but I mean, that just sets him off. Where, I mean... Oh. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm sure he wasn't in a good mental place to begin with, but I mean, certainly that doesn't help at all. I mean, and for everything that, you know, as Billy was saying, like, oh, I think maybe we're changing it by being here and being involved in his life. I mean, being dumb like that and knocking over the lamp and letting him find the bug is just going to just undo anything you may have changed
right.
with your actions. But then when Jake goes downstairs to talk to Billy about it, I felt like that conversation was so weird. It's like, you didn't even notice how close I've gotten with him. I hang out with Lee. You know, we talk about books and all that stuff. Yeah. And I'm also with his wife, too. Where it's like, you want to be best friends with Lee and also hang out with his wife? What's going on,
yeah.
Billy? That seems so weird to me.
Like Billy, you, like that's not okay for like anyone, even yeah. you're time traveling yeah. or you're surveillancing someone or just a regular person.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know what Billy was expecting. Like, well, we're just gonna always gonna hang out, and I'm just gonna be, you know, sneaking around with Marina, and yeah. but Lee and I are just gonna be best buds. That doesn't go
and
well.
He's never mentioned Kennedy once.
Yeah, okay, Billy. Yeah, because right, anybody, yeah, because yeah. I think Lee's gonna take you right in, like, you yeah. know, Billy,
yeah,
you know, this Kennedy guy needs to go.
Yeah, and that was the point. Again, as I'm making notes in here, that I say. Could Bill turn and join Lee Harvey Oswald?
And then he does.
And then he does.
I was like, oh, man. All right, great. It's like, yeah, he doesn't treat me like a yeah, second fiddle. He treats me as an equal. So he pulls a gun on Jake. Yeah, you know, you come back here anymore, I will shoot you. I'll tell Lee about everything that's been going on. Oof, not good.
Loose end. And then, you know, thinking about here, too, is that even you have to think if you're in Jake's position, even once everything is done, say you stop Kennedy from getting shot. You know, you take down Lee Harvey Oswald, you still have a very loose end in Bill. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a very, very loose end in that you never know what he's going to do. He could go off, he could gamble, he could, you know, spill about a whole bunch of stuff. You have to take care of him either way because the future would not be better with him in it.
So say you're Jake. Would you kill Bill? You succeed in your mission, whatever like that. Would you still kill Bill? Is he a loose end that you would kill?
I think
Bill.
Michael would have killed him like
Yeah, that's true. He wouldn't even get this far.
He wouldn't, he wouldn't have made it to Texas. So I was very impressed with how he played it out of taking him to the medical.
Yeah, ward. Smart. Yeah, definitely smart
very
thinking
nice.
About that. Yeah. Yeah, because he does get to see him and Marina, a little smoochy between the two of them. Yeah, I was like, all right, you need to get him away yeah. quickly. Yes.
Also, the vantage point through that window, you could see a lot out of that window.
Yes.
So where, you know, James Franco is usually standing when he's looking out that window, you could see all that surveillance stuff. So I'm like, filmmaking choice, maybe we think about that like a curtain.
Yeah.
Like a curtain would have been nice. But I just remember thinking, I'm like, listen, guys, that's the stairway to walk up to their apartment. And, you know, either Bill or, you know, Jake can just, like, look out the window and be like, oh, I see what they're doing. Like, they can see inside and see what you're doing.
Exactly.
A curtain. A curtain would have been wonderful.
Simple. 10-cent curtain. Boom.
Yeah. And so Jake, after getting kicked out by Bill, goes to see Sadie because she's going to get her to the hospital to get her surgery done. So goes in. And then as she's getting put under there, they say the little goodbyes. Well, tell me one more thing about the future. People carry their phones in their hand all the time, guys.
No,
all the time.
That's crazy.
Yeah, what?
Who does that?
What future is that?
Yeah, then as he walks out and they close, they walk out through one of the doors, we see Hobo Man. He comes back again. And, you know, I just thought, like, this is, I think, like the first time you really see Hobo Man be like a menace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the other times you saw him, he was in the dark.
Yeah.
So you weren't actually able to see his face and see just how kind of scary he is and just creepy.
Yeah, because at first, at any times we've seen him, he seems more of like just like an observer, almost like the sound like as a warning. But this time we feel like, definitely get the impression like, no, this you see this guy, he's definitely going to screw with you, Jake.
And just to clarify, he's not actually real, right?
Well, no, because, I mean, Jake touched him on one of the times that he head back into the rabbit hole. So because he pushed him away from him.
So I just feel like nobody else can see him.
Yes. Yeah, but
so in that regard, and even in the terms of like what he did to Sadie in messing with the
right, yeah. that was just
the thing,
kind of stuff
nobody
happening.
Notices. And I feel like a guy like that roaming the halls of a hospital,
very
people
true.
Would say something.
Yeah. So I don't know exactly like who he's visible to.
Yeah.
And who he's yeah.
That's a question that I'm having and just wondering is how real is he and who can see him?
Yeah, I feel like it's just Jake because Deke was standing there with him and he's like, "What are you freaking out about?" I feel like Jake would have been like, that guy is going to kill Sadie.
Yeah.
See the yellow card in the hat?
Mm-hmm.
Creepy.
That's the guy we got to look out for. It's a bad dude.
But we said that guy does have effect on everything. He makes sure the fire alarm doesn't work, so he can't actually do that to stop the surgery.
Yeah.
And we do notice that as Sadie's getting put under, there's something with the nitrous oxide that it is going into the danger levels right there.
Mm-hmm.
And Jake has to use a fire extinguisher to break the glass and dive in there and saves the day, which is, it's like, all right. I was like, are they going to kill her off? Are they going to do it? I don't know. Did you guys think they were going to kill her off at that point? Or is it like, no, it's still got two episodes left. They're not going to kill her at this point.
I was hoping that they would just to raise the stakes for Jake.
Man, yeah. But I'm wondering, killing her now, does that give him... I mean, who knows? Does he quit at this point? Like, what's the point of continuing on? If Sadie was dead, he doesn't really have much to live for other than saving Kennedy.
I don't know. He just saved her an episode before, so I don't think that they were going to kill her here.
No, that would have been... it would have been too cruel.
There is a point, too, where where they're on the bed together, at the hospital bed, before she goes into surgery, where they talk about the future, and he, like, gives a pause. Did you notice that look, like, right before the camera kind of cuts? There's, and it's even maybe like a second, but they says something about they talk about the future, and he like gives a pause, and it almost seems like his mind isn't completely made up at that point about what they're going to do with the future. Is she coming back with him? Are they, you know, staying here? I caught that. It was like a second, and I was like, oh, I wonder what, you know, his thoughts are. And I'm sure going then through a traumatic experience like that again, you know, draws him closer.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see what Jake's... Because, I mean, certainly the one thing is like, all right, just go back to the future. It's only been a few minutes, 2.5 minutes since I left. So that's great. I can take Sadie with me. But then you also have to worry, like, does the same thing happen to me that happened to Alice and I come back and I get cancer? So could that happen? Or do I just live my life here in 63? But then you have to worry about time. Is time going to constantly keep pursuing you if you decided just to stay and live in 63 that whole time until you die? And that would not be a very comfortable way to live, always having to watch your back constantly. I feel like Jake's kind of... I guess going back to the future is probably the safest bet. I think...
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, another option could be is to stay in the 60s and save up a bunch of money to put into an account for you to have when you're born and just be a baller for life.
The investment technique.
Like, this life may be a little strange, but when that one's born.
Give it to a friend and be like, this company called Apple is going to be created.
Yep.
Put a bunch of money in it.
Yeah, just so much.
Yeah. So we see Jake leaves Sadie behind after he saved the day, but he goes back to go check out Billy and see Billy and Lee just hanging out with their gun, just on a stoop, just, you know, practicing with the gun. I'm like, that is just
Texas.
So, yeah.
You just have your guns out all the time.
I was like, gosh, that is so weird to think about that. Back then, you could just do that, and nobody was really going to think that you were a weirdo.
Hashtag America.
Yeah.
Well, I will say in Austin, there were signs on, like, so many restaurants and establishments that were like, you know, conceal your gun.
Conceal
your gun?
Yeah. Like, no, like, we can't, like, see your weapon.
In that defense, Austin is the liberal capital of Texas. It's
Keep it
more
weird.
The liberal wing.
Yeah.
Whereas I think in San Antonio and Dallas, West Texas, certain small towns, I'm sure it's all over the place.
Yeah
just carry that gun around.
Clinking the spurs.
Crazy, but as soon as we see that, I'm sure maybe you guys are thinking the same thing that Jake is thinking. He's like, oh my gosh, that's the second shooter.
Yeah.
I didn't like that he had to say that out loud, though. Because I never like it when they lay it out for the audience where I'm like, yes, we get that's a second shooter.
And then cut back to Lee and Billy, and there's like an arrow pointing at Billy.
Ding, 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 ding. Guess who this is?
Oh,
wait,
all right.
The second is that? Is he the second shooter?
How's this going to play out?
Yeah.
When they go in, Billy, I felt like Jake already had this plan hatched, but just seeing that really kind of cemented the deal. So he goes and says Marina's in labor and has been calling out for Billy, takes him to the hospital, and then pulls a switch around on him and gets him admitted for psychiatric care, which I thought was smart.
Yeah.
Because certainly, I guess, like anybody back then hearing Billy telling the truth does seems like the ravings of a madman.
Mm-hmm.
Show him the future. Good one.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as you say that, everything else you're going to be saying is
there
like...
There is not a single believable thing.
Yeah. He's not even my brother. I'm like, okay. All right.
It almost seemed, though, too easy for Jake to take Bill to the hospital.
Yeah.
That was one of the critiques that I had.
It did seem a little too
easy. Was that it was like, what's your, you know, reasoning of how can you convince the person that this is your brother and not just a friend?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know?
Well, I guess they do have identification, right? That says that they're a brother. I think they do, don't they?
They would have to have gotten it created.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
Or because they're a small town and they've just established themselves in this community as brothers. So everybody just knows that they're brothers.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I guess back in the 60s, it was easy just to say, oh, yeah, I'm related to him. Lock him up because he's a kook. And they would lock you up.
Oh, the good old days when everyone was just believable.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, and
just take you at your word.
The whole, like, he can't sign himself out without me. And I was like, that is terrifying.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. Somebody wants to turn on you and puts you in, mental institution.
Yeah.
That's so scary.
And I was like, oh, of course not. Of course he couldn't do that. Like, I'd be, like, sweating.
Do you think he stays in, though? Do you think he stays in or gets out?
Well, I mean, seeing a little trailer from the next week, he's not going anywhere anytime soon. But while Jake is, so now Jake's got to do everything. So he follows Lee, sees him getting an envelope from George, follows George, and while George is in a flower shop, George comes back to his car, and Jake's in there, starts choking him to interrogate him, get all this information.
In the middle of the day,
yes,
with no face covering.
No.
He's like, don't look back here. I was like, bro, there's mirrors. What about rear view mirror? Like, I saw your face already.
Man,
how are
you going to get out of the car? Right?
Yeah. I was upset at this scene. I was like, come on now.
No, that was an intense interrogation scene and just really gets into it and just finds out that he's told George admits with the CIA and he's been telling his handler everything and that he took Lee to Walker to just wind him up. But when he didn't say anything after the fact, he doesn't think he's involved.
And I believe George.
How could you not believe? Because George... for even his Russian background and stuff like that and whatever he might have with, the KGB or anything like that, I still think somebody's, choking you that hard, I think you're going to admit to something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't think he's hiding anything. So I would agree with that. Yeah. I'm going with what he says is true.
And his story checks out of why he hangs around there, because he wants to help Marina, because he feels a, connection.
They come from the same background.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, and at that point,
and wants
you
to protect
can't do
her.
It.
And that's the reason that he's giving the money is because he has to give it to Lee so he doesn't hurt his pride, so he doesn't hurt Marina.
Mm-hmm.
So it does all check out. But now that Jake kind of has the idea, like, all right, George isn't involved, so Lee acted alone, so I could kill Lee, and then we could be fine. We could go back to the present.
Yeah.
He calls Sadie and says, like, all right, I found out what I need to know. I can just take care of this one thing, and then we're heading back. Will you marry me? To which I was like, yeah, I did like Sadie saying, that's a terrible way to ask somebody to marry you. Just
on the phone.
Yeah.
She's like, excuse me? She's going to hate texting.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
She's just going to hate it.
That's very true.
Mm-hmm. Someone's going to ask her to lunch.
That's not romantic that he was just like last minute, I want to marry you.
Yeah, no, it's just swoon. Swoon all day.
Oh, yeah. No, that's how you go, sure, yeah, why not? Let's just do it. Okay.
Yeah.
But then as soon as he hangs up the phone, all of a sudden the bookies come back, and that's when it all comes back down on Jake.
And you find out another reason to be angry at Bill.
Fucking
he's double
Bill.
Betting.
Yes.
Yeah. Come on.
He went around placing three bets, and it felt like that was the only thing. If Bill hadn't made those bets, he would have been okay with Jake making all of those.
Yeah.
Even though Jake kind of went around to all his franchises, all around Dallas, and doing
which I also thought was kind of strange that he didn't consider the fact that all these places are connected.
Yeah, you would think
at least consider it and maybe look into it.
Yeah,
yeah.
If you're going to be safe about it, but he's not careful. Yeah. Obviously,
no. But it was Billy making these three, and you see Jake just being so mad at that moment when that guy tells him your brother Billy made three bets as well.
And you would think that you would maybe bet to lose once or twice.
Yeah, just to kind of
throw them off.
Yeah, that would be the smart thing because
they said they took $15,000 in winnings. So once again, multiply by about 7 or 8, you're getting into well over $100,000.
Yeah,
that's a lot of money.
Yeah, and so they give Jake a whooping, and finally just ended with a nice little pistol whip. Got to make an example of him.
Yep. He's like, I am obligated to make an example of you. I was like, yeah, you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's true.
Lucky you're not dead.
Yeah, and you're going to give me all the money back, too, which poor Jake. Yeah, all right, so you get a pistol weapon and you're $15,000 poor. And then we just see Jake pretty much unconscious in the hospital, kind of having a little flashes and hallucinations between Sadie and his ex-wife.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not regaining consciousness at this point, and time is ticking, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, ooh, it's quite
what an ending.
Yes.
Oh, it was so good.
So we got a couple minutes left here. Let's get into some quick predictions. About next week's episode.
TV predictions.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. So where we're at right now, we got 2 episodes left. What do you think is going to happen, Mary Lou?
I think that they will not succeed. And when he goes back, he's not going to take Sadie.
Ooh, interesting.
Because he's going to have intentions to come back again and try again.
Oh, man. I can't imagine wanting to... Could you imagine wanting to go back and try again, knowing that, you spent 3 years of your life doing that, even though it's only 2.5 minutes in present day, but knowing that you have to go through 3.5 years of that and try to replicate at least the successful things again and try to, as best you can, avoid everything that kind of went against you.
Yeah. Well, how many times do we think the other guy went back?
Gosh, man.
I feel like he had to have gone back 3 times is my guess.
Probably. But I would think that and he couldn't even make it that whole time. Mm-hmm. I mean, because it seemed like he only made it just a little over 2 years is the farthest he ever made it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine that.
I feel like he's going to be forced to go back almost. That it's not going to really be his choice. That something is going to go wrong, and they're going to look to him and blame him, and they're going to see all of the equipment in his house, or some kind of, they're going to think that he had something to do with it, and he's going to be forced to make that quick exit. Mm-hmm. And like you said, that might be without Sadie, and he's faced with that regret.
Yeah, or he's going to take it. It's going to be on a personal level. Sadie will get killed, and he's going to go back to try and save her because he's so in love with her cut-up face.
It's just going to end with him staring into the closet.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
Pulling back, covering his face.
Yeah, I feel like we have to have some sort of confrontation between Jake and the hobo guy. Mm-hmm. There's got to be some talk about exactly what that guy's deal is and what his whole mission, so to speak, is. Does he like control time, make sure time keeps onto the original track? Mm-hmm. What his deal is? I feel like there needs to be a conversation between that, just so we understand what. Because I feel like if you're going to give time like an embodiment of some point, then we want to hear from their point of view. Like, why is time? Why does it fight back?
Yeah.
What's the reason for time doing this?
I'd also love to hear from any of the viewers that have also read the book, if it's actually going along with the book or not, or if we're like totally going off the rails, because that stuff always interests me. Like, if they've made creative choices, because there's definitely some scenes where I'm like, how would that have appeared in the novel? Like, how does the yellow card guy appear in the novel? Is is he just like this ominous figure, or is it more concrete as to what he is?
Yeah.
You know.
Or also just tweet us, like, what page of the book will we be at right now, and then we'll just read from there.
Yeah, that's great.
Just do that.
I like the plan.
All right, so folks, this is going to do it for this episode of 11/22/63. Happy birthday, Lee Harvey Oswald. That's
and
right.
Happy belated birthday to you.
Yes, look at that. So if you want to continue the conversation with us here on Twitter, Mary Lou, where can they find you?
You can find me on all social media at Mary Lou Mandel, MarieLouMandl.
You can find me on Instagram at TheOnlyMC, on Twitter at MichaelKlausTV. Reach out. I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJack. Yeah, let's keep the conversation going. Like us on Facebook. Rate us on iTunes. Give us those sweet 5 stars. Michael sleeps nicely at night when he knows he's got 5 stars on iTunes.
And let's try to get him 403 followers.
Yeah, 403, the new number. At for number 403, Michael's going to give you a personalized tweet to you. We're going to make that guarantee right here.
I'll do it. All
right, we'll see you guys next week on the 11/22/63 After Show.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After Shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.